Well, it's really a blessing for me to be able to share the word tonight, and I want to go to Psalm 103. We're going to spend the evening here on this teaching in Psalm 103 because I want to look at benefits of knowing God. And this is one complete section here. Psalm 103 talks totally about God's benefit and knowing God and having God in our life. And the benefits that we receive from this relationship with God. So let's go to Psalm 103. Tonight I'm doing the King James Version, so in case it looks a little different than what you're doing. Let's go 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That means my whole heart. You know, God wants our heart. He doesn't care about what we look like, what we do in this world as light as work and, you know, our activities we like to do. He's okay with what we do. But he wants our heart to be locked in with his heart when it comes to the spiritual things in our lives. And the spiritual things in our life direct the rest of our path so that we can walk in joy and in fellowship with God all the time. And so I want to praise him and bless him with my whole heart. And it says to bless him with all that is within me and bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Where do we learn about the benefits of God? From his word. How do we get to know God? From his word. And then that spirit of God within us is energized and we hear his voice more clearly. If we don't spend time in the word and build our understanding and our appreciation for what God has done for us, then sometimes we miss that still small voice. I do. So I've learned through the years that if I want to stay in tune with God, I've got to stay in tune with his word as well as the spirit that's within me. And I know what we're reading tonight was written to Israel. I know this is David's psalm. And, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. That's how God described him. And yet, David didn't do everything right, did he? I mean, he made some pretty big boo-boos, you know, and he had a guy murdered because he wanted his wife. And yet, God continued to work within David's life. And when David got back where he needed to be in God's presence and in God's direction again, God turned things around for David many times. So don't ever allow the adversary to convince us that we cannot have the benefits of God because we're not good enough. That's a lie from the pit. And we know who controls the pit. So we don't need to be questioning who we are or why God's doing for this. We need to doing this for us. We need to learn and glean from these verses we're going to read tonight and then move into how much greater it has been since Jesus Christ came even. But I wanted us to look at the benefits, so let's keep going. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We learn about benefits from the word, and yet God doesn't tell us to remember all that he does for us. He just says, don't forget it all. I mean, God knows us. He knows we can be hot one minute and kind of chilly the next, but he doesn't care. He wants us to understand his heart for us is not conditioned upon what we do, but what he does. Okay, who forgiveth all mine iniquities and who healeth all my diseases. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, a lot of people have a problem with he can heal all thy diseases. But if you believe that he's going to forgive our iniquities, then you know what? You got to believe he can heal all our diseases. Sometimes we get kind of swayed in some of these areas to see the power of God, but this is written to Old Testament. This is before Christ came. And it is even a greater responsibility and privilege to be able to minister healing and to trust God to be healed. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns us with his loving kindness, that unconditional, pure love, and his tender mercies. And I tell you something, in this chapter we're going to read, God talks about, David through God, talks about the tender mercies of God five times. And there's a great verse in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. You should read that later, because it's really sweet about God tenders mercies. And we all need God's mercy. We all need God's loving kindness. And no matter what is going on around us, God redeems our life from destruction. I know in our country and across the world right now, there's a lot of weird, evil things going on, and it's destruction. I mean, you see the war that's going on. You see the earthquakes that's happened. I mean, there are some heavy-duty things happening in our world today. But we need to remember that we are redeemed from the life of destruction. God will take care of us. He has redeemed us. He has given us his Spirit. He is going to be there for us. Verse 5, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think most of us on the line tonight know that there's this eagle that will go straight up as high as they can go when they get a little older, and then they will turn their wings in and go straight down into this river or lake. And all of their feathers come off, all of the old feathers that are dirty and that have kind of weighed them down. And they get out of the water and they lay in the bushes until the new feathers come on, the soft feathers, the feathers that give them more mobility and strength. And that's what God is trying to communicate to us, is that we're like that. We can get rid of, because of his ability to redeem us, we get rid of all that old man nature stuff, all of that stuff that holds us back, fear, condemnation, anger, unforgiveness. We can, all of that is washed away if we allow it to be. Just like that eagle, if he goes up and comes down at the right time, you know what? He gets a whole new set of wings and feathers and stuff that makes him function better. That's a figure of speech. There, the eagle, renewed like the eagles. And you know what? God uses figures of speech for it to draw our attention to it. There is something there for he wants us to understand. He has redeemed us. The Lord executes righteousness and justice and judgment for all that are oppressed. So don't get freaked out about what's going on around us. Don't get freaked out about who likes you, who doesn't like you. Is the president the right guy? Is he making the right decisions? You know what? Pray. And remember who we belong to. We belong to him. And he executes righteousness and just judgment for all that are oppressed. And our country's a pretty oppressed place right now. But you know what? God's righteousness and judgment is going to be happening in our lives as we continue to look to him and not allow circumstances or other people's opinions move us away from God's benefits, knowing God will take care of us, knowing we don't have to worry and fret. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And the reason he made known his ways to Moses is because Moses and God had built a relationship. God will work with us like that. He will make known to us things that we can't know without him. He trusted Moses. The children of Israel were up and down, but Moses and God had a relationship because Moses spent time in God's presence. Now, we can spend time in God's presence in our bedroom, in prayer, or in his word. Moses didn't have his word back then. So he had to go up into the mountain and be in the presence of God. But he did that, and because he did, God trusted Moses and could show Moses, this is what I'm going to do, and this is why I'm going to do it. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And I told you about that verse in Lamentation. That's really a cool section to read. Let's keep going. Verse 9, he will not always chide or rebuke. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank you, God. Now, that was the Old Testament. We have something even greater now. We have Jesus Christ has paid the price. And he has covered us completely. And anyone who accepts him as their Lord and Savior, we know, and believe that God raised him from the dead, we know that our sins are covered and forgiven. So we are a little bit further ahead than David was in that category. But I'm going to tell you, God is great and God is good. And he's going to take care of all of us. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And we know that word fear can also be translated, and in this context should be reverence him. God does not want us to be afraid of him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And we know that he, in this verse here where it says, as far as the east is from the west, the east and west never meet. So, you know what? When we go to God and we ask him for forgiveness about something we've done, that's it. That's what we need to do, and that forgiveness is there. And he cast it as far as the east is from the west. And in Isaiah, actually, 43:25, it says he blots out our transgressions and remembers them no more. And when I was younger in the Word, I used to ask God to forgive me for the same mistake I made 2 or 3 times. Like I'd say, okay, God, I'm really sorry. Thank you for forgiving me. And I would do that. And I don't know how God has such a humor, but one night I did that about the 10th time I'd say I was sorry for that one thing. And I prayed and I said, I'm really sorry, Father. I just hope you can forgive me. And I know you can. I just really want you to forgive me for what I did. I'm really sorry. And I swear, there's this little, still small voice in my heart, and he said, what sin? And I was like, whoa. And I realized what I was doing. I wasn't accepting his forgiveness. I was not doing it believing that he really had forgiven me. And after that day, I didn't do that much anymore. Once in a while, I'll slip up, but then I remember what he did in my heart that night, and I don't do it much anymore. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth, and that word should be translated loveth his children, so the Lord loveth them that reverence him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. You know, there is nothing that God doesn't know about each and every one of us. And, you know, he's God Almighty. That's, you know, somebody asked me that question one time. How can God know everything about everybody? And I just looked at him and I said, because he's God. I mean, he's God. He created the universe. I said, he just does. He does what he does. And they were like, well, I just don't get how he can do that. And I said, well, we'll just ask him sometime. Maybe he'll tell you. I don't know. But he knows our hearts. He knows who we are. And it says, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. God knows the very hairs on my head. Matthew 10:30-31 talks about that. And I always thought that was really funny because we have hair, and then we lose a hair here and there. But God always knows the amount of hair on our head. And I don't quite understand why that is necessary, but he does. So if he does, then there must be something for us to learn about in that situation. Verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall not know it no more. You know, we get older right now. The new birth has not happened. Christ has not come back yet. But you know what? He will. And when he does, all of those that have passed away will be joined together with him, and we'll be together with the Lord forever in the air. And I can't wait for that day. I'm sure all of us on this phone conversation can't wait for that day. But God is going to send his son. And then the things of man will be different for us than it was on this earth. Verse 17, but the mercy, there's that word again, of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and in his righteousness unto children's children. That word fear should be reverence again. But his mercy, the mercy of the Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that reverence him. Wow, what a strong verse of scripture. To reverence God, it's easy when you see how loving and kind he has been through mankind from day one to the present day today. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. God wants what's best for us, and his commandments and his direction in our life is always going to be what's best for us. And he wants us to keep those commandments. It blesses him to bless us and to see us walk in the victory of Christ that he has made so available to us. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye angels, and that word can be translated messengers there, that excellence and strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the word, unto the voice of his word. It blesses God when we do his word. It blesses God when we listen and be obedient to his word. Obedience is a very important thing when it comes to your relationship with God. You know what? Jesus Christ was the only man who completely obeyed God in every point that God asked him to do. And look at how much he got. And he got for us because of his obedience to God and his word. Throughout time, there have been great men that have been obedient and non-obedient. And there's been great men that have never followed and walked with God. And you know what? They're not going to be at the gathering together. But they still will get a chance to choose later on. And that amazes me to know that God will again make his love available to people who have rejected him through their lives. It blows my mind. But that's how big our God is. That's how loving and tender and full of mercy. And his loving kindness, that word, I love that word, loving kindness. We read that earlier. His loving kindness, his kindness to us is filled with love. That just blows my mind. Okay, let's finish out here. Verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the word, the Lord, all my soul. And I want to continue to bless God in my life. And I know you guys do too. And it's so simple. Just sit down and take a few minutes each day and just say, thank you. Thank you, God. You're such a blessing in my life. You've blessed me with so much, with this, with that. And then just repeat the things he's done for you. Not because he doesn't know, but because it builds us up to remind ourselves. We get reminded all the time in this world how we fail, or we didn't do this right, or we didn't do that right, and this is going on, and this is going on wrong in our country, and oh, what are we going to do? And that's thrown at us daily. But you know what? If we sit and we're thankful to God and we bless God with our hearts and praise him, which I know is in everybody's heart on this line to do, it blesses God, and it pushes the adversary back. He doesn't like to hear that. He wants us to be weak and try to figure it out ourselves and not going to God to get the blessings and the help we need. So, you know what? We need to bless God. We need to be there and understand the benefits. This is just one chapter. I mean, and this is to the Old Testament believers, but we can learn things from it. And we also know that we have Christ in us now. God has taken his people a lot further than he took them back then. So we have a lot more power and a lot more ability to kick the devil's butt. So let's do it. Praise God and just let him run and hide, because all he can hear is our praises and our thanksgiving. So that's what I wanted to share tonight. God bless you guys.